Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
We are live with another episode of the Patriots Podcast, a very special episode of the podcast. We are doing a mock draft here. Before we get started, please remember to like and subscribe, rate and review. We got a great show for you guys tonight. Special guest included. We got Ryan and JJ, as always, and special guest Higgs. What's up, guys?
What are we doing?
Looking forward to it.
How pumped are you guys? Mock drafting going on. I know it's not the real thing. We got to wait till Thursday night for that, but Tuesday night couldn't be doing anything better than mock drafting right here. We got the board set. Ryan's got the screen up. We're going to be drafting live here, and trades are allowed. Things are going to get nuts. So this is going to be really fun.
I like the fact that there's four of us too, and we all have our own individual picks. You know, as opposed to like rotating three, four is pretty good.
100%. And the symmetry brain that I have loves that it's exactly eight picks per person for a 32 pick round. The draft order is set. We have Ryan getting the top pick, Higgs with the number two pick, followed by James in the Patriots spot at number three. And I bring up the rear with the Cardinals at four. And then we're going to repeat that order. Who is the most upset about that draft order?
Ryan.
probably me. I just wanted the Patriots, but
the Patriots pick so bad.
I don't know if I'll ever get that on this podcast, but you know,
it's rigged. Good. It's rigged against.
It's all good. We'll see. We're in Higgs's hands. We're in Higgs's hands, and hopefully he takes care of us here.
Yeah, and we'll see.
Hey, there's just you can't. I know you're a Chiefs fan, right?
No, Higgs is picking two.
Used to be a
I'm
Chiefs
picking
fan
Patriots.
When they had Jamal Charles and Eric Berry, but I'm not as big of a fan of these Chiefs these days.
But a big football fan.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah, we're excited.
And a Patriots fan at heart. So yeah. Do the right thing. Don't be stealing our guy.
Don't be trolling, taking fucking Devin Leary at number three.
Look at us just peer pressuring you, welcoming you on the podcast with insta peer pressure.
Yeah. Love it.
Right.
All right, why don't we kick this thing off, Ryan?
All right,
you're on the clock.
I am on the clock.
With the Bears at number one.
All right. I don't think I need to overthink this one. What is that? All right, I think we're good here. I don't think I need to overthink this. We're taking Caleb Williams at one.
Oh. All right, we got some sound.
Caleb
there.
Williams on off the board.
Caleb Williams, no brainer. Higgs, did you want Caleb Williams if he was going to drop the two?
It's a good question. Probably would have probably taken him on, honestly.
Yeah.
What do you think about Caleb?
It's fantastic, man. I mean, the talent is out of control. The arm talent, just to be able to throw back foot. You know, there was some concerns throughout the course of the season, but when you look at the overall resume, I mean, that's an easy, easy pick. I think that he's one of the highest graded QBs I've had in a long time. The fumbles are concerned, but I mean, you take this guy and you worry about some of that other stuff later.
What do you
think
about
the off the field stuff is a little concerning, but we'll see.
Very concerning.
What do you guys think about like his height being only 6'1" and only weighing like 215, which is like only 25 percentile compared to class?
I just think he sees the field as well as anyone I've ever seen coming out. His awareness is crazy. So it doesn't seem to be a height concern. I'd like to see him play in structure more, but I mean, the things he can do out of structure, creating as a playmaker, you just don't find that every day, you know, and even Mahomes didn't have it to this degree coming out. So,
and where does he go? The QB killer, Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Haven't been able to draft and develop a quarterback in
80 years,
our lifetimes for sure. Yeah.
Probably 80 years.
Yep. 80 years. So, good luck to him if he goes there, which is going to happen. You guys hear he didn't even take other visits?
Yeah, it's so, confidence. I mean, he thinks he's
number
one.
Didn't bother.
Yep.
Look at Higgs just buying time, asking questions, thinking about number two here.
All right, Higgs, what do you got?
All right, I'm picking Jaden Daniels at two.
Whoa!
Shocked. I was just looking at their roster. You know, I was between Marvin Harrison Jr. and a quarterback. And, you know, the only thing I have against Jaden Daniels was that he had the two best wide receivers in college, and they were unbelievable, both guys. So they kind of bailed him out constantly. Mm-hmm. But he can move well, and he's quick. He kind of reminds me of, like, a Lamar Jackson light, and anything close to Lamar Jackson I love. So I'm just going to pick this guy, and I want to see what's going on with the third pick, too. I didn't want to pick Marvin Harrison just so that he would be there. So
that's my pick. I like him at two. I mean, that's, for me, just seeing his college career, you know, there was a lot of years where I didn't really consider him a top pick. So to have him, like, have this kind of year and move up this high is pretty impressive.
James, all right. Number three.
Number three on the board, the Patriots. What are we going to do? So I really think that we're going to trade this pick. There's a good chance we trade this pick. We take someone else. I'm not going to do that because our guy is here. I want to go with this guy, Drake May. I think he's going to be, if he's there, we're going to go for him. You know, he's got all the quintessential quarterback traits that you're kind of looking for. UNC went 8-3 last year, which isn't too bad for all the crap that he's been getting for not being able to lead a team. We've seen plenty of other quarterbacks be able to somewhat successful at the college level and take it to the next level, you know, without having the ultimate dominant team experience in college. So I think that's the play. If he's not there, I think the Patriots trade him or trade the pick. And they might trade the pick if they get a haul.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of reports out there about, oh, there's not any offers that they like, this, that, the other thing. Draft day happens, people get all kinds of hyped up and make terrible decisions because of the, you know, the adrenaline rush of it being in the draft room. So who knows? Some owner might throw three or four first round picks at him. And then, you know, an offer you can't refuse. What are you going to do?
Could happen. All right. Drake May, quarterback of the future. Love it. In New
England.
Good pick. Gotta
be happy.
You're
welcome, Ryan.
I'm very excited about that.
I personally, if you guys don't mind me jumping in here, I personally would recommend drafting just one of the receivers, either Marvin Harrison Jr., or even Brian Thomas Jr. I'd be happier with those guys than a quarterback because I think we could get Penix later, and he's my favorite quarterback in this draft. That's just my personal
preference. I would trade down and get Penix. That's a pretty ideal situation. I feel like he's getting slept on a little bit. Great pocket passer. The guy's got balls. You know, he played great through most of the playoffs outside of the, you know, his injury championship game against Michigan, who was powerhouse clearly. I wouldn't mind trading down, getting Penix and a Malik Nabers. Pretty enticing.
Couldn't we get like a late first and a second, you think, for that third overall?
Oh, for the third? You can get two first
rounders. Four first rounders.
The conversation starts at three first rounders to move up for the quarterback tax. That's where it starts.
Could be three and a player.
I want picks for this draft, though, necessarily not.
Well, you could talk to the Vikings, 11-23 in next year's first. I think that's where I would start that conversation.
Ooh.
You know, and that's just what it has to be. If you want to move up to get a quarterback, that's the price, you know. Especially a guy that was ranked one or two throughout the whole season. It's only in this draft process where all the, you know, the hate and picking up. He's been scrutinized more than any other quarterback in this class to such a degree where it's like, no, you're betting on the upside of this player, and that's what taking a quarterback this high is about. You know, and when you look at the talent level with Drake May, the ability to improvise playoff platform. He's used to being under constant pressure. You see the arm talent, throwing with his left hand, running. I mean, you bet on that kind of talent.
Ryan wants him. Granny, what do you think? What do you want to happen?
I want to take Drake May if he's there.
You do?
Yeah, because even if you get 11-23 and next year's first could be 20. It's like, You might get three starters out of that where your whole team could be changed if you get a franchise quarterback. Now, maybe you do hit a franchise quarterback with one of those picks. I don't know, but it's just an open door. And all the other people that are available, at least in this year's draft, have a lower upside than May does.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I think also if the Commanders take Drake May at two, then I think I'm much more likely to field calls to move down and get more picks and accumulate assets. And I think the Patriots really need more assets. But in this scenario, with a quarterback with this kind of upside, I just don't think you can pass on it. You, who knows when you'll get a chance to do this again.
Turn in that card. Okay, number four, Arizona Cardinals. I get to make a pick here. We just went three QBs, top three, reminiscent of the 2021 draft, 99 draft. We're going backwards. So I get to pick the best of the rest. Arizona's already got Kyler Murray there. Honestly, when I was scouting, they need a wide receiver. They have a history of having phenomenal wide receivers. I mean, just Larry Fitzgerald there for 15 years.
Yeah.
You want to get your next Larry Fitzgerald. I was scouting these top three wide receivers, and there's not a wrong pick between Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison Jr. Those guys are all across the board studs. I'm a Marvin Harrison Jr. guy because I've been in that boat for a couple of years now. I've just been waiting for the day that he comes out. So I'm turning in the card. Marvin Harrison Jr. to Arizona.
See that.
Love it.
Boom.
I think that in most years, we're talking about a number one pick there. A number one overall pick.
For sure.
The quarterback tax is, you know, it's hard to pass up a quarterback that could change your future. Harrison is the kind of guy that can change your entire team, you know, at a different position. So really, I don't throw that word around too often. Generational prospect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
I have the Chargers here at number five, and I am immediately fielding calls. I'm not calling you, James or JJ. You're calling me, and you're offering
you.
You're calling me, and you're trying to move up and jump the Giants for a quarterback. And I'm just trying to figure out how much I can get from you.
Am I trying to get a quarterback here?
If you're the Vikings. You're going to go with Sam Darnold?
Oh, the Vikings. You're talking about my later pick. What pick? Tell me what pick you're talking about.
You're 11 and 23. You have 11 and 23. I'm the Chargers at 5.
I actually have 11 and 23?
Yeah.
Wow.
You have both the Vikings picks.
So you traded away and I make a pick. And then you make 11 and 23? Is that how we're going to do this?
That's how it would work because I have the Chargers. Yeah.
That's so funny. I have both. What are the odds? So you want 11 and 23.
I mean, that's just starting the conversation. I would probably want next year's second as well.
Sure, you could take next year's second. Why not?
Are we doing this?
And I get number five.
And you get number five.
But who the hell am I going to take for quarterback?
Oh, you don't have a second next year. I'll take the third.
Look at all this. Look at the wizardry.
So show me available quarterbacks.
You got McCarthy, Penix, and Bo Nix. You going to take Rattler? I know you're a Rattler guy.
How do I get out of the trade?
I do like Rattler. All right, let's do the trade. Put it in there.
11-23 and next year's third.
Sure. I don't know how you're going to do the little board thing here, but look at you. You've got it ready to go. All right, now I'm on the clock.
Yeah, how do I get out of that?
Just click on the Vikings on the left.
Okay, here we go. You're the Vikings. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to go Michael Penix here.
Whoa. Penix guy.
Penix. I'm a big Penix guy. I think he fits their system. Pocket passer. Can run. I think Justin Jefferson will be very excited. There's word that he's a little, you know, not too happy over there because of the fact they don't have a quarterback. You know, who knows his relationship with Kirk Cousins? I'm sure it was all right. But big arm in Penix. He can get the ball down there for Justin Jefferson. They got Darisaw in front of them at left tackle. So they have a pretty good tackle room situation. I mean, I feel like it's gotta be all offense here. We just made the pick. We're going big. Forget McCarthy. He can't do it. He doesn't fit our system. I don't want to deal with them if I'm a quarterback's coach.
I have a bone to pick with you.
We're going big. Yeah, I know you do.
I have a bone. You just moved up and gave a lot of assets away to get a guy that probably would have been there at 11.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm having fun with it. Good. That's why I only gave you a third round pick next year, right?
All right. Well, you gave me two first too.
That kind of makes a lot of sense. Penix to the Vikings. One of the things about Penix was he had a great offensive line and great receivers. at Washington, and he goes into a situation in Minnesota where he gets to play in a dome with two solid tackles, Darisaw, Brian O'Neill. He's got Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson.
We knew what we wanted, and we went up and got him.
And it's pretty good. I would love to see him land there.
I respect it.
All right. Who's
it wasn't
next?
Going to trade up for JJ McCarthy. He's going to fucking fall to the 20s.
I don't think so. I think he might go right here.
We'll find out. The Giants and
New
Higgs.
York football Giants. They could have taken Penix.
All right. So, you know, I'm looking at the roster for the Giants, and, you know, they got Hyatt last year. You know, I don't think I want to get a receiver right here. They got Daniel Jones as a quarterback. I'm not going to get a QB. They need help on defense, it looks like, but, you know, there's so many good guys on offense on this board. And they already have Darren Waller at tight end, but I'm going to have to do it and get Brock Bowers.
Whoa!
Wow, dude.
One of the things I like about Brock Bowers is, you know, I followed Travis Kelce right outside of college, right when he went to the Chiefs. He was a rookie. I loved the kid. Loved Gronk. Loved Hernandez. Loved these bigger tight ends. And what I've seen with this kid, he's just a straight-out wide receiver playing tight end. He's 6'4", runs a 4.4, and he's got unbelievable hands. So I'm like, you know, this is – only comes around once, probably every 10 or 15 years. You got to get this guy.
You could make the argument. I love it. You could make the argument that he's the second best pass catcher in this draft.
Yeah, I agree. You
know? So yeah, I like that. I don't know if
pissed.
I don't know if that they do. Darren Waller's been talking about retirement a little bit.
I think he's going to retire.
And he's barely, he played what? A couple games last year.
Yeah. He was on my fantasy team. Terrible.
Terrible.
They're talking about his rap career. Like what the fuck?
Higgs. Brock Bowers is my number one. I've been scouting for 15 years and writing scouting reports. Brock Bowers is my number one tight end over that period of time.
Ever.
He's the only one I've given a upper half of the first round grade.
Wow. Well, a little bit of a shocker here. No tackles taken. Very deep tackle draft. No one taken. Top five or six. On the clock is, I guess, me again.
Yep.
Tennessee, right? Well, that makes sense because Joe Alt's sitting right there. This is a team that has had terrible offensive line play for a while now. We're going to select Joe Alt at number 7, absolute mauler. They could have gone quarterback. Maybe they go JJ McCarthy there, but they've got 3 on their roster. And I think they're going to figure that out and try and build a team around him. Will Levis isn't great, but they kind of seem to like him a little bit last year. And Joel just enormous and, you know, Notre Dame tackle. We talked about him last week. So I think he's the guy.
Boom.
He's too good a talent to let fall any further.
There you go.
All right. I love it.
Number 8, Atlanta Falcons spent big money on the quarterback this offseason. They've spent high first round picks on the offensive skill positions. Could use some help on defense. Are we looking at a defensive player here in the top 10?
I think this is the first defensive player for sure.
Oh, as a matter of fact, we have another trade. The Denver Broncos at 12 are moving up to 8. Sean Payton. Sean Payton wants to get a player at 8. He trades next year's first and this year number 12 to move up to 8. Falcons stockpiling some assets for this run. Sean Payton wants J.J. McCarthy.
Whoa!
Fits the system. He's seen this guy play within the lines, follow exactly what the coach tells him to do at Michigan. Sean Payton wants to be in full control, puppet master, and he's able to do that with J.J. McCarthy here at number 8.
Damn, God, that is fantastic, dude. I love the way you did that, man. That is awesome. It makes sense, too. The thing is, with the Broncos, they just don't have a lot of assets to give away a first next year too. It's a lot.
They just love spending spots, them.
But
Sean
you know what?
Payton
they needed a quarterback.
Picks.
I was thinking, you know, Bo Nix would be a little bit high there, but yeah, JJ McCarthy moving up to 8 for them. That's awesome.
Five quarterbacks taken in the top 8.
So I got the Bears here, and I was not expecting Malik Nabers to still be there. I'm gonna stack this fucking offensive skill position. I got DJ Moore. I got Keenan Allen. I got Caleb Williams. And now I got Malik Nabers.
No offensive line, huh?
Nope. No,
you're just going no offensive line.
No, they drafted a first rounder last year. Their offensive line was actually pretty decent.
Was it?
I was expecting Adunze to be here, and that would be my pick, and Neighbors not to drop. But I mean, when Neighbors drops in your lap, what do you, you know?
Yeah, can't say no.
What are we doing?
And now Neighbors is like, God damn, I got to play in Chicago outside. It's got like the big best wheels in the draft, and now you're going to slow him down in the mud.
He's I mean, what the all three of those guys are capable of, who do you focus on? Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and now you got this kid?
You're setting up Caleb Williams, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
All right.
J-E-T-S for Higgs.
The Jets.
So I just want to chime in real quick on Joe Alt and J.J. McCarthy. So Joe Alt, I just think he's a little tall. So his first step off the ball, I feel like he comes off high. So I'm curious how he's going to do against those quicker, shorter defensive ends, which I know teams are obsessed with these days. And then J.J. McCarthy, like my only knock on him, like I've been trying to look for the next C.J. Stroud. I was big on C.J. Stroud last year. He threw like back-to-back years over 40 touchdowns. And like, you know, J.J. McCarthy only had 24 touchdowns. So like, but I've heard, you know, he didn't have that many playmakers around him. You know, he did a lot. I like how he looks, and he looks
good. They didn't ask him to do a lot either.
Yeah,
I just think he's a little – that's a little early. But you know what? You can make the argument he's just as good as every other quarterback in this draft. Mm. He's pretty good.
When I look at J.J. McCarthy and, like, the usage that he's gotten, it's not like you're throwing a ton every game, right? But when you look at him in third and long, he's fucking awesome. So when they needed it, he was there, and I think he could really play. He's a young kid. He's 21. He's good under pressure. As you can see here, 89.4 pressure grade. I mean, the guy can move, and he's got a good ball. He's not a crazy arm, but talented kid. I was surprised he got this far, and yeah, it's a good pick.
All right. You're on the clock.
So Jets, you know, I was thinking receiver here or defensive player, but honestly, you know, I'm obsessed with Breece Hall. I want to give this guy more help, and I think the best tackle on the board is Latham, and put him at right tackle or left tackle. I know they already got a good tackle, but with Tyron Smith, but put him at right tackle, man. Help this guy, Breece Hall, out. You know, they also have Israel. I can't say his last name, but he's really good.
Abanaconda.
Thank you. Yeah, he's really good too. So like, give these guys better blockers. Give more time in the pocket. I'm worried about their quarterback situation. Give this guy more time. This guy's a beast. I think this is the best tackle in the draft, personally.
Yeah, he's very good. He's a huge player.
Pick for them. That's a really good pick for the Jets.
335, 21-year-old kid.
Big
Alabama. Old. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is how you build him. The thing with him that I don't like is the penalties. I think he had 18 penalties.
Oof, that's a good point. I know.
So... But no, they need a tackle they can develop, because right now they have old guys, and they just lost Mekhi Becton. Who'd they bring in? They brought in
Smith.
Tyron Smith, yeah. So
who was injured a lot, but if plays, could be pretty successful.
Yeah,
for them. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, that looks pretty good for a Jets fan. You now have two pillars at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
If Smith stays healthy.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm up here with – I traded with the Vikings. I got the Chargers pick here.
Not a single defensive player off the board yet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
This might be how it goes.
I think it will.
Yeah, I think so too.
So
offense is stacked.
I'm not going to overthink this. I just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I drafted Quentin Johnston, who kind of sucked last year as far as catching the ball. I'm going Roman Dunze. This guy's going to catch everything I throw to him. I still got the blue chip left tackle in Slater, and I think I'll be all right. And I got some assets, so Roma Dunze is the pick.
It's a vicious duo.
It is. Rome
and Herbert. Oof.
Dangerous.
Oh, yes.
Oh, not bad. Okay, so now I'm sitting here. The Falcons finally get to make their pick. They rolled the dice before, moving back. You know, they wanted one of the impact players on defense, but they knew the board was going to shake out with a lot of offense, so they were still going to get one of the top guys on D. And look who we have here. We get to choose which pass rusher that we want. And on my board, I have a neck and neck between Dallas Turner, the edge player from Alabama, and Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois. Like Byron Murphy too, the D tackle from Texas, I have Newton a little bit higher. But I have Turner the highest, slightly, but the highest. He's like, I think he just turned 21. His measurables are freakish. He's like, he's got size, he's got length, he's got incredible speed, he's got production over years in the SEC against the highest level competition. I mean, let me just read. 34 and a half inch arms, 6'3", 250, ran a 4.46, 40 inch vertical leap. Andy's productive, Andy's young, five-star prospect, mentored by Nick Saban. I just think this is a lights out pick right here. So the Falcons are taking the edge player.
Okay. Jerzon Newton, good player.
I like him a lot. I thought about it.
Explosive. So I got the Raiders here, and really I think the Raiders would probably be more aggressive than this and try to move up earlier. It's tough with the quarterbacks being gone. I'm not sold on taking Bo Nix in the first round, so I don't think I'm going to go that route. They got a lot of needs. I'm looking at a guy here I think is a Swiss Army knife I can use in multiple facets. I would start him at corner and then see how he develops. I mean, there's no reason to really move him off of corner, even though he can do everything. I think he's fantastic in the return game. I'm going to go with Cooper DeJean. You know, he's been slept on because he got an injury late in the season. He hasn't been able to work out. But when you watch his tape, he's so dynamic. And I think he really changes that defensive backfield there. So I'm going to go Cooper DeJean.
All right.
Nice.
I think that's Bill Belichick's favorite
player. He's a good player, man. I mean, white corner, too. When was the last white corner we saw, you know?
Jason Sehorn.
Jason Sehorn. We're going back that far.
Yeah.
That's wild.
All right. On the clock, the Saints. Tough team to draft for. I don't really follow them too well. I know that they
got the needs right there on the screen.
I know. They could replace Carr, obviously. I don't think I want to go there. I was thinking tackle. I mean, I feel like it's tackle receiver. There's a chance they draft Newton.
JJ, I think I'm Saints, no? 14.
What is it?
I thought I was going at 14.
Oh, no, you're the Saints. Right. No, I'm sorry. I'm 15.
Okay. Take his pick. Oh, my God.
Take your speak up picks.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
He seemed confident. I was curious who he was going to take. Yeah, so I'm just looking at their roster, and I'm looking at the player draft board on who's available. I'm kind of torn between two guys, a defense player and a wide receiver. So Mitchell is my corner that I really like. You know, they still have Lattimore. They're getting old. But, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. is my favorite receiver in this draft. So I got to get this kid. He's the only person that reminds me of Randy Moss. And anybody in any way, shape, or form that can be related to Randy Moss is a go-getter. So I think he's going to Moss guys, best deep ball wide receiver, best outside wide receiver in this draft. Have some concerns about him, you know, running through the middle of the field. You know, that's not really what he's known for, but he's got two of the best plays that I personally like seeing in college last year. They're both two deep balls, made unbelievable plays in the end zone and like the corners. Just makes it look almost effortless. Like Brandy would just put out his hands and last second, the corners, you know, couldn't stop it. So this kid's like 6'3", 6'4", a borderline, and he can run really fast, almost 4.3. You know, that's unheard of. So I think he's personally just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. and just as good, or if not better, than Rome and Malik Nabers. So this is my guy. I wish the Pats could get him, though.
Damn, dude. Brian Thomas is your number one receiver? I haven't heard that take.
Yeah, so it started off like I was looking at all the other wide receivers and he kind of fell. And then I started watching his footage more and more. And I'm like, this kid is absolute freak. Like, he's the only one that actually reminds me of Randy Moss. So I'm like, I got to get this kid on the Patriots somehow. But I don't think he's going to fall to us at all.
6'4", 205, 21 years old. Second most deep yards in the class. He's fucking explosive, man. That offense is crazy. The amount of receivers they put out. I love Brian Thomas Jr. I love that pick. Next, him and Olave together.
That'd be sick.
Ooh. That's a good pairing.
Yeah.
All righty. Colts, finally my pick.
Recalibrate.
Yeah. They have a rookie quarterback last year who could use a receiver. He's coming back. He had some head injuries. They could also go cornerback somewhere on defense. Their defense has been, you know, not great recently for sure. There's been a run on receivers, though. So it's a matter of, do you know, is the value there for that time? Okay, all right. Could go back to the big board for me, Rye. Let me see who the top guys are going. I mean, yeah, Mitchell is a hell of a cornerback, and they could definitely use some secondary help, as much as I know they want to draft a receiver. We're going to wait on that. We're going to go Kenyon Mitchell, big physical cornerback,
yep.
6 feet, 195, kind of has a hit stick.
Best player at the Senior Bowl by a fucking mile. He was awesome.
Best player at the Senior Bowl by a mile. I think just from the value, you see this dude possibly going, you know, top 15 in pretty much every mock draft that I've seen. It's tough to let him fall out of there, especially if you have a need there for him.
Look at the passer rating. Holy shit. The passer rating against him in 2022, 34.8.
Oh, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, look at that completion percentage, 43. He I know it's lesser competition playing at Toledo, but he made people look silly. It was like he was baiting quarterbacks and just fucking with people. It was he looked bored.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. He's a good player. He's and it checks out with the measurables at the combine. He ran a 4.35-ish. I don't have that in front of me, but he's a fantastic athlete. So I love that pick, man. I think that's probably the closest thing we have to the Gonzalez and Witherspoon of last year.
Yeah. In this draft. I love this kid too. He had 4 interceptions in one game. 2 of them were pick sixes. Like, that's unheard of. So yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Good player.
All right. Seahawks. I am up with the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll is out. John Schneider remains. So I expect a largely the same draft philosophy will stick with those guys. They've been spending a lot on offense recently, bolstering the tackles. I think they could use some help on defense. And why not start and on the defensive line? That's their best teams were run by that defensive line. Obviously the great secondary too, but Michael Bennett really made that defense work so well. So I'm going to pick their next Michael Bennett, Jerzon Newton, Illinois. I already talked
Newton off the board.
You already took him.
No, I took Dallas Turner.
Oh, I messed up. Okay.
Well then give him Dallas Turner.
Dallas Turner just to change it. But just so everybody knows, Jerzon Newton is the pick here, not Dallas Turner. Yeah. I need to flip-flop that. I'm sorry. That's my mistake. No worries. I knew you were so high on Jerzon Newton. That's why I took him earlier.
I built it up.
He built it up and then switched it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bastard.
There you go.
Seattle. Same guy.
I wonder if I can trade this pick back.
Yeah, Jacksonville?
Jacksonville is up. Ryan.
That is me.
Jacksonville with the spending spree in the offseason.
Me, this
trying
is pretty,
to fill all the holes.
This is where, pretty where simple, they man. They got to fix that defensive backfield, man. And the best corner on the board here that I have is Terrion Arnold. I'm taking him, not thinking twice about it. I know the 40 time wasn't great. When you watch the tape, he's not 4.53 as far as game speed. He made Kool-Aid McKinstry a borderline second round pick. That he was the better player this year at Alabama. So SEC proven, went against some really good players. And I mean, there you go. There's numbers for you. Good player. I'm going to take him.
It's going to be sad now that Nick Saban's gone. We can't be like, oh, and he was coached by Nick Saban, especially the secondary. Nick Saban specialized coaching the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
This is our last class of Nick Saban graduates.
I know. I wonder how much less. Or I wonder how much Alabama falls off now.
Yeah, you enormously. Know,
they're due to fall off. It's been annoying. It's been like 15 years of like
domination.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who's up next?
I'll just say Arnold. I'm up next. But Arnold, I'd love to see that guy try to make some tackles on like bigger RBs. I'm a little worried about his weight. So I think he would fall a little bit back further. But I really like him too. So. He's probably not my second favorite cornerback. So I'm going to, on the Bengals, I'm going to have to go with Justin Verse, if he's still available. Jared Verse. So he's just like my guy that I think is the best DN in this draft and blows off the line. It's really quick and fast, and you know, can absolutely toss tackles. I think a couple of his highlights, he picked up the tackle or threw the tackle into the quarterback, and that's something I haven't seen since like Reggie White. So, you know, this guy is awesome.
Yeah, good player.
All right.
Nice pick.
Very nice pick. LA's on the clock. Playoff team last year. Some clear needs.
We should point out this is the Rams' first round pick since
a long time.
Jared Goff. It's either Jared Goff or Todd Gurley. One of those two.
Wow, dude, that's saying something. Tackles are stacked. So they could use a tackle. Help old Matt, old veteran back there, Matt Stafford, not get crushed this year. Stay healthy. Get something out of him on the field. There's a few really good tackles still on the board. It's tough between it's either between Fashanu or Fagua or Fontenot, the three F's. Yep. So who are they going to go?
Butchered all three of those.
You did.
No surprise there. I'm going to go Fashanu. Is that his name? How do you say it? Penn State.
Olu Fashanu or Fashanu, whatever. It's fine.
Fashanu, yeah, thank you. I'm going to go with him. I feel like he's a big boy. Great feet.
Zero.
I think they
bucket.
Could use him. Put him at left tackle.
Zero career sacks allowed. Pass protection.
That's a pretty good stat right
pass
there.
Pass protection,
zero.
Fucking God. Not as good in the run game. That's a great pick.
But that could
21
be
years old.
And that's not as important these days, honestly. You know,
get a talent tackle. Like that at 19? Wow. That's nice.
He could have gone. He probably would have gone 7 last year.
I mean, come out. Looking at this board here, do you just as a Patriots fan at 34,
you got to get
think,
up there and get one of these guys.
Think they trade up and get one of these tackles? They got two starting tackle caliber tackles up there. I mean, if they go into the mid 20s, it wouldn't take too much to get them from 34. Just putting it out there.
This is a little high for the Patriots to go up. I think they'd have to give up some assets that they really need going forward. I could see them moving up a couple spots from 34, but to move up, you know, what is it, 14 picks here to get to the Steelers, I don't see it.
And one thing that we've been saying, this Patriots team, it's not stacked. They're probably not going to be great next
God,
year.
No. Really
their first round pick is going to be upper half of the of the round.
And they just took Drake May. They're probably going to sit him for most of the year.
Yeah. You don't want to be spending next year's picks. As much as you want these guys right now, it's like next year's first round pick is going to be super valuable. You can't be giving that up.
All right. Steelers are on the clock. Steel City.
Oh, shit. Is that me?
I think it's you.
Hey, this guy. Well, the Steelers, JJ's been bashing the Steelers offensive line for years and years.
Yeah.
And they're sitting here looking at these offensive line prospects. I think it's time to take one of these guys. I am going with Talese Fuaga, Oregon State. He's my top rated offensive lineman that's still on the board. Great pass protection. He absolutely annihilated Latu, the edge player from UCLA, who's extremely talented. He did a great job in that game. He gets out on screens. He can move really well. Not incredible in pass protection, but he seems really technically sound. He's got pretty good feet. He's got great size. Going Fuaga.
Love it. It's a good pick. He's a mauler, man. Absolute baller. I think he's a right tackle, but I mean,
yeah, I think he's a right tackle too.
I mean, and you could move him into guard. I think he'd be an elite guard too, but I don't see the need to do that. He's just a fucking man, you know. He buries people into the ground. It's not just about the block; it's about the punishment, you know. And he's got it, dude. I like him a lot.
Own setter.
Yep. All right, so I got the Dolphins here. And I didn't think Fautanu would be available still. And I was really banking on Amarius Mims here. But since Fautanu is still there, I think he's my number one tackle that's still left. I think it's an easy decision. Terron Armstead getting up there in age, bringing a guy that, I mean, he could play probably guard, but I don't really see the need for that. Because I think the concern with him was his arm length. everybody thought it was long, and then he came in and tested, and it was like 34 and a half or something like that. So he checks out, and part of the top offensive line in college last year. Absolutely. Just, I think he's going to go higher than this, honestly, but since he's dropped, easy pick. Patano.
So good. Patano. Incredible feat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm up with the Eagles. You know, I was between getting a defensive player or offensive player. I wasn't quite sure, but, you know, Latu is at the top of the board. They like packing the DNs. They got Jalen Carter last year. Imagine those two guys on both sides. You know, they're probably going to get Latu if he falls to them. So
they traded Reddick, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, but they signed that kid from the Jets.
Oh, what was his name?
Yeah. I know. I never remember his name.
Bryce Huff.
Bryce Huff.
Yeah,
that's it. Player.
I like it. Okay, we're going Latu. Latu.
Yep.
His medicals check out. He's good to go, right? He's
tricky.
Best.
That's going to be such a... He could be one of those, like, remember Miles Jack?
Whoa.
Miles Jack was in the top five for me, and then he fell to the second round.
Look at these numbers.
And just sometimes you learn about their medicals.
Yeah.
Where this kid had a neck fusion. He missed two seasons. He transferred to UCLA and had to get cleared by the doctors in order to, like, transfer to UCLA because he wanted to play.
It's like, he medically retired. He medically retired. So for him to come back and play at this level, if his medicals check out, I mean, he's the best pass rusher in this class by a mile.
On day one.
On day one. Yeah. And he's ready to go. Look at this. 96.3, 36 hurries last year, 15 sacks. And when you watch him, he's got every move in the book. It's nothing's predetermined. He just knows how to counter.
Yeah.
I mean, his recovery is insane. So
27 sacks over 2 years. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Quick question for you, Ryan. You said he didn't play. I didn't even know that. So
a couple years ago, he medically retired and came back, I think, 2022. See here, 2021 is missing.
Was it injury? What kind of injury? Like back injury?
Neck. He had a real bad neck injury. He had to get some of his vertebrae fused.
Ooh.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to fall then more?
Well, that's the thing. You don't know. I mean, but he got checked out by all the doctors at the combine and got cleared by UCLA and played phenomenally well. So you just don't know.
Sounds like almost like Darnell Washington almost.
If he didn't have
he medical, didn't play in 2020 and let's see, 2021.
He's extremely talented. Didn't he won like every single award last year.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal. So he's only played the last 2 years. So, and I know he's a little bit older, right?
Yeah, because he
23,
missed that time.
23 actually is really not that bad. So, all right, cool. Oh, whoops. There we go.
All right. So the Vikings traded this pick.
Oh, I got the Chargers.
To the Chargers.
So the way this board shakes out, I think the Chargers need a lot. And we
who'd they get last time? Who'd they get with that 11th pick?
We took Malik Neighbors.
Wait,
no, shit. Yeah, Malik Neighbors dropped to us, didn't he? No, yeah. Roma Dunze dropped to us. Okay, so this is something I've wanted to do for the Chargers for like the last 4 years, is get an interior defensive lineman that's just a stud. Because they have no run defense. They, like, every fucking year, no run defense. I don't get why they just can't do it. Tempted to take a corner here, but I'm going to go with Brian Murphy the second.
Good pick for them.
And I think that shores up a lot of things on that defensive front. Look at, I know he's a little bit undersized, 36 hurries here. Real quick guy, not big. I think he's short. Let me take a look at this here. Yeah, 6'1", 308. Little small. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Christian Barmore, though, in the way that, like, he's not huge, you know? But he's a quick guy off the snap, kind of like a 4-3 defensive tackle, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Free technique, penetrator. He's in that like, new age defensive tackle, the Aaron Donald type. Not certainly stocky. Not comparing him to that level of production. It's funny how those guys come in cycles. Like, Randy White was one of those guys in the 70s and 80s. John Randall was that guy in the 90s.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald brought it back in the teens. Byron
Reggie
Murphy
was pretty tall, wasn't it? Reggie was like 6'4".
Who?
Reggie White.
No, I said Randy White.
Randy White. I'm sorry.
Randy White from the Cowboys. Oh, no, no. Reggie White was like 300 pounds.
Yeah.
All right. I got the Cowboys here at 24. Cowboys, who were going, quote unquote, all in this offseason, have done lickety-poo. What was that Jim Moore quote? We couldn't do diddly-poo. Yeah, that's what they did. So they're sitting there. They just lost Tyron Smith. I'm actually a big Tyler Smith fan who's been playing guard for them. But it might be nice. They could bump him out. It might be nice for them to really – they're at their best when they got the best offensive line in the NFL. So we're going to double down on offensive line. My second highest rated guy still on the board, Amarius Mims, tackle from Georgia. Sorry to steal him from you, Ryan.
Fuck, dude.
This guy is hyper-talented, uber-talented. You watch him sit in a squat. They do these, like, at Georgia, whatever they coach for their offensive line stance, it's this hands up, no hands on the ground, but, like, a deep squat. He looks like Tyron Smith when he's lined up like that. It's like,
He just barely played. You know, that's my thing with Mims. When you look at the talent and the way he's built, it's the easiest looking 340 pounds I've ever seen. Yeah. He looks like a rock. You know, it's not
like
a lot
you couldn't even pinch him with calipers.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a lot of fat on him. And my thing with him, let's look at the number, like the snaps, you know, 297 snaps, 385. Like, he's barely played. You know, you're really betting on the athletic upside there. And I get it. I think that would have been a perfect pick for the Packers. So that's why I'm a little upset. But,
you know, there's another guy that has a ton of upside at tackle.
I know.
Who also hasn't played a lot.
Right. And I'm looking. Oh, well, we're looking at, we're looking at Tyler Guyton here as a developmental piece moving forward for the Packers. Obviously, raw, young kid. I wanted to take Graham Barton, but I think Graham Barton is a kick inside, maybe move to center kind of guy. I think he'd be one of the best centers in the league if that's what they do with him. But I think the Packers are just going to develop the shit out of Tyler Guyton, and he's going to be a star. So I'm going to go with Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma.
Hey, nice. Brian, real quick question. You said like 300-something snaps. Like, I don't follow how many snaps a normal offensive lineman that's starting normally takes.
Like, got to figure thousand? About 60
let's
plays
look at Jackson
a game.
Powers Johnson. 829 offensive snaps.
Wow.
So when you're talking like 300, you know,
it's a part-time player.
Yeah, it's kind of
what was the
injuries.
For,
no? He had an injury that cost him, I think, the first like five to six weeks of the season. But he's been banged up quite a bit. Broderick Jones was in front of him the year before, and then the names escape me for the other tackle that was there.
DeJuan Jones.
No, that's Ohio State.
Ohio State.
I can't remember the other guy's name, but yeah, he's been blocked a little bit, and I know he's young. He came out a little early as far as like reputation, but I mean, the athletic upside is clear. So yeah, 800, you're looking for like 800 to 900 for like playing every snap.
So yeah, I'm on the clock right now with the Bucks. Just looking at the board, who's there. I'm thinking either Kool-Aid or Wiggins or an interior lineman. I think they need to give Baker a little bit more support. I'm not sure how Robert Hainsey is, but he's their starter at center. I got to go with Jackson Powers Johnson here.
Oh, I love it. That's a good pick.
Nice.
It's a good pick. You're just getting a good fucking player. Intense player there. I love it. That offensive line is. I mean, they have some weapons. Wirfs is over there. Who else?
Yeah.
They just lost somebody, though.
Jensen just retired.
Sua Opita, Cody Mach, and Luke.
Mm-hmm. Cody Mach. Oh, yeah.
Mach was a tackle that moved inside, right? He moved to guard from North Dakota
State.
He moved from North Dakota State where he played tackle. And it was last year, I think it might have been his rookie year. It was either that or the year before.
Only 25, so
yeah.
Probably 84.
Yeah, Jackson Powers Johnson you're going to probably forget about center for 10 years there. So that's a nice pick, dude. Right, who's got the Cardinals?
Football, Baker over there.
Yeah.
All right.
Cardinals with their second pick Cardinals, of the first round.
Yep. Cardinals back on the clock. They took Marvin Harrison Jr., right? First round pick, fourth pick overall. You know, they drafted Paris Johnson last year. I would go offensive line, but they already took him. Higgs just took Jackson Powers Johnson off the board for an interior lineman that I think would go that high. I don't really want to take another interior guy that high. So I'm going to go with defense. I'm going to go Chop Robinson. Chop at defensive end. I think they need a pass rusher. This dude's 6'3", 254. They tend to like DNs in that size. He's a little smaller than when they had Chandler Jones, but Chandler Jones really killed it in that system. So I think they just need a pass rusher like him. He's a fast twitch player. Helped out the Nittany Lions a little bit. So
I like Chop, and he was projected to be this high basically the whole season. You know, the thing with Chop is he's light. You know,
254. He's got room to grow.
But when you're looking at the athletic tools, the ability to get off the ball quick, I think that he's probably the quickest player in the entire draft off the line of scrimmage. So, I mean, there's a lot to work with there. I like that pick.
Good old Chuck.
I think he's a bust, though. Honestly,
he's like got some bust potential for sure.
Oh, yeah, easy.
You know,
the DNs always do.
Yeah.
How does Penn State keep pumping these guys out, these athletic marvels?
They got two this year.
How do they do it?
Yeah, come on.
They got two guys this year. I mean, they're probably going to have more next year. It's, you know, just
Odafa Owe, that guy was a workout freak.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am up with the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, a tumultuous offseason, to say the least, for the Bills. They completely gutted their team, effectively. They signed a couple depth pieces, I would say, on the outside offensively to try to cover up the holes from Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. They're going to lean heavily on Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid for that offensive identity along with James Cook. So I'm leaning defense here. I think they got to bank on Josh Allen elevating all boats on that offense and put some talent on that defense, losing Tre'Davious White in both safeties. So I'm going to take the best guy left on my board, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh, he takes
him. From Alabama.
All right.
Good pick.
Kool-Aid.
I like watching.
Good cover. Good player. Man coverage guy.
Yeah. No, he's a good player. He's going to be around in the league for a long time.
Yeah, he's just pretty solid.
Yeah. He's a fantastic athlete, but he just knows how to play corner. Okay, cool. I got the.
Well, it's a 4.5 though, right? So a little bit slower than fast receivers coming out of this draft.
Yeah, but I think he matches up pretty well. He's a bigger kid, right? Is he 6'1", 195? Yeah, it's pretty big for a corner nowadays.
He's got the skills.
Yeah, and they seem to have missed on Kyer Elam. I mean, what the fuck has happened there? It's a good thing they just lost Tre'Davious White. Rasul Douglas is their number one corner now, so. Yeah, it's a little bit questionable over there.
Is there anything you guys like over Nate Wiggins versus Kool-Aid? Because those guys are pretty similar. Nate's a little faster, so Nate's, I don't know if he's got the edge.
Nate's tiny, man. What are we looking at here? The weight. 6'2", 185.
That's not that bad.
It's actually really pretty good, but super fast. He got hurt at the combine, I want to say. He ran like a sub 4.4 40, and then he got hurt. I do like Nate Wiggins.
4.28.
Woo!
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
That's the kid.
He's fast.
I know he's 6'2", too. He's beast.
At the combine, he weighed in as measured 6'1", 173.
Okay. So that makes more sense. That's what I was looking at.
If you get light, you can run real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how are you going to cover these guys like Tank Dell and Tyreek Hill, these shifty guys, and you need a guy like Nate Wiggins almost?
Nobody covers Tyreek Hill. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah. So you got the Lions here, man.
That's how you do it.
You got the Lions on the clock.
I got the Lions here. I want to get tougher on the edge, man. I want to get someone else to fucking compliment. I don't like the look of this class here. I don't want to go. Oh boy, that's a tough pick, man. I got linebackers. I got a safety. Wide receivers. I fucking got wide receivers.
I think like Dan Campbell.
I'm gonna think. I'm gonna think like. What Dan Campbell do? I'm gonna take Graham Barton here and kick him inside.
That's what he did. That's what he would do. I think they just lost their right guard. I think he went to the Rams.
That makes sense. I think Graham Barton's the kind of athlete you could kick inside. I mean, he's a tough kid. You know, the way he plays, the tenacity. He's pretty strong. I like this pick. I think that'll help out a lot next to Penei Sewell and Graham Barton. Jesus. The athleticism there is crazy. I'm going to roll with it.
All right, Ravens on the clock, baby. I'm excited for this one because I'm low-key the biggest Lamar Jackson fan, and why not give him my favorite, one of my most underrated picks in this draft, Xavier Worthy. His stock went crazy. So, like, I've been following this kid right up. I've been following this kid for a couple of years. I used to watch Bijan Robinson. So at Texas, you know, I'd watch the games and I'd just see Xavier Worthy. I'd be like, this kid is freakish. And I was a big Tank Dell fan last year. He was my favorite receiver in the draft last year out of Houston. And I think this kid's basically Tank Dell, but faster and taller. So, you know, you can't guard this kid. I honestly think he's going to be just as good as any other receiver this year for sure. And if he has a guy like Lamar Jackson, he could be the best receiver this year to have the most yards and most touchdowns potentially, just because he's got that game-breaking speed. You know, he's got that twitchy, you know, almost like a Tyreek Hill, like just like can't touch him. Like if we were playing one-hand touch, nobody's even going to be able to get one hand on this kid. So yeah.
They schemed him open a lot. He's so fast. I mean, I know they gave him 26 screens this year. I'm looking at the deep yards there, and that's what's concerning to me is the way he gets touched when he's running deep routes. And he's just, if you're looking for, you know, DeSean Jackson, someone like that, that's just speed.
Sean Jackson, exactly. He's just like that.
I just don't see the deep threat that DeSean Jackson posed with him. Even though he's got that speed, I just don't see it on tape. You know, like, where are the deep catches? But, you know, when you have that kind of speed, 4.2, 140, it's just
you get him the ball.
It's easy to get excited about.
Can
I get
you
it.
Get him the ball?
Oh yeah. Right. I can send you I'll send you some of those deep ball films when he can track it down. Like he just looks back and he can track it down perfectly. So not worry about his deep ball
very
skills
fast.
At all.
Very fast. Yeah. It's a good player.
All righty. So the Niners are on the clock. Not a ton of holes on this team. They kind of have their pick at who they think is the best for what's going on. I see their needs at guard and tackle. I don't really believe that. I'm really thinking of their receiver situation. They could go cornerback here because the cornerbacks aren't that great. I don't know about Nate Wiggins fitting in to their system being so short. I'm thinking that Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade and wants to be out and also paid a ton of money. They want to keep Brock Purdy with weapons. I think they're going to go, even though Adonai Mitchell was listed at 6'4 and measured in at 6'2. So there's some detractors there. Sean's not a big fan of those numbers.
I hate that.
I know you hate that. Listed on his draft guide on NFLDraftHead.com. But I think they go receiver just because they got to worry about Ayuk. They got to worry about Debo after that. They kind of, you know, they don't have a whole lot there. So
Mitchell
at 31. I think it's good value at 31. I think they're going to like him. It was between him or the other receivers on the board. Could have maybe taken Troy Franklin. Keon Coleman was kind of a thought for me just because Keon Coleman kind of is like a Debo Samuel, as people say, because he's got that speed and he's got that big play ability. We're going Mitchell, though. I think he fits into that team. Right? On this website, it's got a list that 6'4". We know that is false.
it's false. Yeah. It's more 6'2", 202, kind of thing. Still a really good
big frame. Runs a 4.34, I think it was. I mean, that's
fucking incredible.
Like, to get a guy that runs 4.34, 6.2, has good stats at what, 29? What are we at, 20, 30?
Even if you 31? Call him 6.2 and you're running 31? A 4.34, that's fucking incredible. So
at 200 pounds plus, he's not one of those 175 pounders like Troy Flame. Right?
So, I mean, that's hell of a value. Just keeps adding to that team.
He said in an interview that he doesn't play to his fastest speed just so he could play more, you know, so he can have the energy to play more. He runs kind of more nuanced routes, but when you get him in the open field, I think that you're talking about a potential wide receiver one. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world. This tough thing about when you're looking at these Texas guys, man, there's so many mouths to feed there. So maybe you didn't get to see the best of him. Even when he was at Georgia's productive player, transferred to be closer to family, be closer to his daughter, because he's a Texas kid. So I really like A.D. Mitchell, man. For the 49ers, for a 49ers team that's like got an embarrassment of riches, to get a guy
just keeps getting better.
Yeah, that's a fantastic pick, dude.
This probably happens in conjunction with the Brandon Ayuk trade.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Yeah, Brandon Ayuk for like a second round pick or something.
Yeah.
Pats pick up the phone immediately. They're like, "Hey, we got 34 sitting here."
I don't want I'd rather keep 34 than get Ayuk.
Oh, wow.
You would trade that up?
That's wild. I love Ayuk. I love him so, and we have so much money. We got money out the wazoo. The money's not an issue.
No, it's true.
If you can get proven guys.
They wanted to pay what's his name that went to Jacksonville, 20 mil. They could pay Ayuk, right?
Ayuk's better. He's better than Calvin Ridley.
And he's definitely better than Calvin Ridley.
He's much better.
All right. The Super Bowl champs on the board for Sean. Number 32.
You guys just stole my two picks.
Well,
I'm not a huge Xavier Worthy fan. No offense, Higgs, but I see a lot of screens. I think it is difficult to get the ball in his hands. And then especially with the Ravens, it reminds me a lot of Marquise Brown, where things didn't work out perfectly there. I thought Marquise was actually a better compete at the catch point player than Xavier Worthy. Worthy's faster. And then I was going to take A.D. Mitchell for the Chiefs. But so what are we going to do now? You just mentioned some of these other guys.
What a spelling for A.D.
It's, well, they call him AD. It's Adonai.
It's Adonai. Okay.
I have Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin, Malachi Corley. I feel like what the Chiefs
run on
really
receivers.
Well, what they really need is an offensive tackle. They don't have a left tackle right now. Donovan Smith is still a free agent. I was convinced Tyron Smith was going to wind up with the Chiefs. That didn't happen. But there's no tackles worthy of this selection. So I'm going to go with a wide receiver. And I'm going to take Troy Franklin. They value speed, which is why I thought they might go for Worthy if he was available. They love those, Marcus Cole. Oh, my goodness.
Marcus Cole.
Who's the guy that fumbles all the time?
Valdez Scantling, MVS?
No, not him. The guy they drafted.
Oh, Kadarius Tony. Wait, no.
Not Tony.
Oh, my God. All
the time. Sky Moore.
No, yeah. Oh my God, none of these guys.
How many fucking guys they draft?
I keep wanting to say Marcus Colston.
But oh, that's not
it. We're just going to go back to Dwayne Bowe now.
The dude that just got had the hit and run issue?
No, Rashee Rice. No, not even him. Another guy, the guy that was on the Jets that signed a deal and then left.
Oh,
and went back to the Chiefs.
Not Valdez Scantling, the other one. He had
you're talking about the kid from Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, Mecole Hardman.
Mecole Hardman.
I thought we were going to go back to Dwayne Bowe there, man. I thought we were going way far.
Totally
back.
Different.
Player. Dwayne Bowe.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Wow.
I'm sure the listeners appreciated that trip through memory lane. So I'm going to go Troy Franklin because he's got speed on the outside. Big time production, a little bit light, but they don't mind light receivers out there.
I heard someone compare him to Thornton, Tyquan Thornton. I don't see it. Like,
I don't see it either.
He's fast. He knows how to work back to the quarterback. He's got the awareness of the position that Tyquan does not have. I know he's light. What is he, 176 or something like that?
Something like that. When I wrote up Troy Franklin, I said he is who Tyquan Thornton should
literally
be.
This is who he should be. Yeah. I mean, 1,380 yards, 14 TDs, 17 yards per their catch. Pretty impressive stats. Gotta say. Especially at Oregon, you know. where there's a lot of mouths to feed over there sometimes. So he was able to separate.
Yeah, I got the Panthers
number 33.
Here. Yeah, I got the Panthers here. They addressed their offensive line a lot in free agency. Man, they really need a wide receiver there. Who's
a lot of wide receiver
right
need this year, huh? It's like every team has wide receiver.
I hate that I'm about to do this. No, you know what? I'm not going to do it.
He's not doing it.
I'm not doing it.
He's looking at Coleman.
Your boy's looking at the upside of Coleman. And
very
even though I don't really like the player at this point, I think the upside is real. So I think they love their big guys over in Carolina. They've helped out their offensive line a lot. Go ahead, take this kid, Keon Coleman, number 33.
Absolute run on wide receivers.
Yep.
That was four straight right there, right before the pass.
Right before the patch. All the receivers
are
gone.
That was my pick for Keon Coleman.
Big pick for Darren, or Higgs. Big pick for Higgs here.
And I don't like him as much as probably three receivers that I just like three receivers, I think, that are still on the board better than him.
Oh, you like Leggett?
I like Leggett. I like McConkey a lot better.
I like Leggett too.
McConkey's a fucking player, dude. I mean, there's more, right? Roman Wilson is going to get open all the time. Ricky Pearsall is going to get open. These are way better route runners and way better separators. The thing is with Coleman, jump ball, you got pressure on you. Throw it up, see what happens. Like, Coleman's one of those guys that could be a freak show if he puts it all together, you know?
Yeah. Kid was 6'3", 215, returning punts. You don't see that.
Yeah.
That's Josh Cribbs. Like, that's the only one you could point to that did that.
Right. Crazy. Nate Wiggins is still there, huh?
One thing I say about Keon Coleman, I watched a lot of tape on him. Before the season started for college, he was ranked third for wide receivers on everybody's mock drafts. He was going like top 10. So to see a guy like that fall back that far, and based off my tape, you know, he just doesn't create separation. A lot of guys can follow him pretty easily, especially guys in the NFL. He's not going to break away. But the thing is, if you throw it in the window, 50-50 balls, this guy's going to win that almost every time. He's a beast. And after the catch, he's hard to tackle. I've seen him hurdle guys. I'm like, what? Like, that's crazy. So I would love him to follow the Patriots. That would be awesome, but it's kind of a dream to.
Yeah, the spectacular catches are incredible. Like,
yeah, he's got some great.
He's got
jump
the highlight
catches.
Reel for sure. You know,
I would not want to tackle that guy.
Just be more consistent is what I would want.
Yep.
So who do you take, Higgs? Who you got on the
forward,
clock?
So the guy that I think Mayo really likes is Edgerrin Cooper. He's a linebacker. He plays the rock and. I think, you know, Mayo is probably going to want to get this guy and he might reach a little bit. I could see him falling to around closer to 50. So maybe, you know, we work our magic and Mayo just gets him somehow. But also Leggett is on the board. So I'm like thinking like he's just as good as these top five receivers. Potentially he's got that raw and just natural gift. So I'd love to see what he does. This draft class is so crazy. It's like the best draft class ever. It's making the whole draft crazy. We haven't even been talking about running backs. It's actually kind of wild, but like, I just think the running back class is just deep. And then before I give my pick, I wanted to bring up how Granny was talking about how he disagrees that the Pats, you know, are going to be potentially Super Bowl contenders. I think this draft could make Super Bowl contenders. ASAP.
Wow.
If we get three or four good guys, and I'm talking about tackle.
Going out on a limb here.
Quarterback. Right. And we already got the best defense in the league. I think top five easily, you could argue. So we got best defense. We just need to make this work with three positions. You see these rookies coming out of this draft. They are changing the NFL. We just need to hit home runs with one, two, or three guys. Get a tackle, wide receiver, quarterback. Boom. We're
a lot easier said than done, but okay.
Dude.
I like your optimism. Love
I
your optimism.
I love it.
The pep talk. I'm all pumped on the pep talk, dude.
So who do we got?
Who are we picking?
Who is he going for?
Yeah, so after all that, you know, can I just see who's available at the very top? This is. Can you scroll down a little bit more?
This is offensive tackle here.
Oh, tackle.
Yeah, because you go to the who's
hint,
available.
Hint.
Yep. All right. So this is just Nate Wiggins. We got Ladd McConkey there. Jordan Morgan. Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen Polk.
You know what? I'm just going to get my guy and just say Edgerrin Cooper. You can lay it off.
Belichick's linebacker.
A little skinny.
We're still reaching.
He's a little skinny, but he can cover guys unbelievable. He reminds me of Telvin Smith from the Jags. And I love Telvin. He retired too soon. So this is the guy. Get him.
I like the player.
Surprise pick.
I like the player. I hate the pick.
Surprise pick. But it's okay. That's why we do these things, yeah. Because you never know what's going to happen. Watch the Patriots do something like that. Go.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
All right. Good pick. He's off the board. Cardinals on the clock again. Third time on the clock. I've got them for the second time here. We all know their offensive line is in shambles. I mentioned they got Paris Johnson last year. We're going to go center this time. Zach Frazier, West Virginia. Throw him on the board. One of the best centers coming out this year.
Good center class.
They need him. They need to help Kyler Murray as much as they can. They got to keep Marvin Harrison happy. They're not going to keep him happy if the ball can't get thrown to him. So offensive line, Zach Frazier. Boom. Where did
the Cardinals pick last? The Cardinals picked Chop. So they got edge, a wide receiver, and a center. Oh, they're cleaning up. All right.
Not bad. Final pick of the draft.
Final pick for this mock draft. 36 Washington Commanders. What are we going to do here? So we got Jaden Daniels in the first round.
Nate Wiggins won't be here, so got to get
I'm thinking about Nate Wiggins, but they got a cornerback in the middle of the first round last year.
They lost a lot of edge.
Manuel Forbes.
Yeah, go receiver probably because Jahan Dotson's not good, I don't think.
Man. Still got McLaurin.
Yeah, but he's old now.
Is he old?
Yes. So you got to go. Am I going Jordan Morgan at tackle and having a guy that could probably be a average starter? Do I do that in the backfield? I got Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. Feel pretty good. I thought about taking a running back. Mm-hmm. Thought about it. They got Jamison Crowder. Not great on the inside. I might go Ladd McConkey here.
Georgia.
Ladd McConkey. Wow. Giving a little safety blanket, a guy that's going to be open.
So underrated, 2 seconds. Man. He is so fucking good. When you watch him play, he's open 24/7. Like, he's fast. He's got decent size. He knows how to run routes, how to change tempo, find soft spots and zone. He's so fucking underrated. For him to get to 30, if he gets out of the first round, he's a fucking steal pick. I would take him every time. I wouldn't even think about it.
Dude, look at it. We've picked, 8 or 10 receivers in the first round?
That's how it's going to go, man.
And he still fell. I honestly think
McConkey.
Almost every one of your picks was a receiver.
McConkey could have gone.
Most of your picks were receivers. I mean,
25, yeah. 20. He could have gone higher. Fuck,
and
man.
There you have it, guys.
The Patriots need a tackle and a wide receiver still coming out of this.
Would you guys compare McConkey to? Like, I can't really read this kid.
Devontae Adams? I feel like he's got that kind of upside where he's just a fucking ridiculous route runner.
Yeah, the route running is insane.
I mean, that's the high side, right? I don't think he's... Well, I mean, honestly, there's really nothing that I don't like about him. He's got good hands. He's fast as shit. Really quick, agile, good releases. Not the biggest guy, but he knows how to get off the line of scrimmage. I know he's like typical Patriots white receiver, but he's not. He's different than all the guys we've had. Like, he's faster. So, yeah. I'm a huge Ladd McConkey fan. I have him in my tier 2. I have him wide receiver 5.
Damn.
Wow. Okay.
6 feet, 185. 4.39 and a 1.52 in the 10-yard split.
5.2, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got talent. You see some of his footwork. His footwork's
is
very
Georgia.
High level.
Watch Georgia. You know, I mean, he's playing against the best of the best. He's got the best of the best on his team. And he's getting all the targets. He's cleaning up, you know. So, yeah, I think I've said enough on McConkey.
There we go. I wanted to take Tavondre Sweat somewhere here. I just love that dude.
Dude, he is dropping like a stone now. You get the DUI.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be there in the fourth round at this point. This is a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. 6'4", 365, can dominate the line of scrimmage.
He's some good fucking players.
Bring him in the third or
fourth. Dude. Zane Ristill is a fucking animal.
Not familiar with that kid either.
He can play. I don't. You know, he's a little bit older. Amagaji, project tackle. That's going to be probably a starter for 10 years. Malachi Corley, a Debo Samuel type of build. Tough kid. You get him in open space off screens. Can't be stopped. Kingsley Suamatea is a guy I would love to get for the Patriots, even if they overdrafted him at 34, just turned 21. Draft him, put Okafor, Chuck's Okafor at left tackle, and let this kid develop. And you have a, you know, if you do the right things with him, he's got the athleticism, the strength to be around for, you know, a long time. So he's a, God, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to give, I want more picks. You know, I want the Patriots to get more picks, but I don't want to miss out.
You can trade down.
I don't want to miss out on Drake.
That's the only way. Yeah, you got to trade down to get more.
Yeah.
Or mortgage the future. Those are your options.
Bo Nix still there, too.
I know. Nobody took Bo Nix. No running backs off the board. I expect.
No RBs.
Yeah, the end of. Oh, yeah. Higgs, who's your favorite running back? I feel like.
I was going to ask the same thing. Like, who are you guys' favorite running backs? So I think Jalen Wright is going to go in the first round, and probably Jonathan Brooks will probably go end of first, beginning of second. But I think, you know, getting Jonathan Brooks, there's so many guys. This is a deep running back draft. I wouldn't reach for him. Same with Trey Benson and Blake Corum. I like Marshawn Lloyd a lot. That kid,
me too.
I like Marshawn Lloyd.
On the freaking ball.
Yeah.
Don't get in front of that guy. Will Shipley, I really like this kid, but
he's,
you know,
good.
Reminds me of like a slot receiver. So like an Edelman. I could just love to see like the Pats try and get
him. That McCaffrey style.
Yeah, almost, but like him and this other guy, Dylan Lube,
he's from Lubke from North New Hampshire.
You know, yeah, that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, yeah, dude, he's dude, he's a pass catcher. See how many? I gotta find out how many passes he catched, man. I'm sorry. While we're here,
it I like
insane.
Him.
Reminds me third down back. Running back. Where the fuck is he? All right, Dylan Lube, 24. Let's look at this.
Who does he remind you of, Higgs?
We're talking about who again? Sorry, Labe. So he just reminds me of like a slot receiver. Like put him, just grab him early. Like put him as like an Edelman almost. Like don't play him too much.
Receiving
just
88 targets out of the backfield,
700 yards running. Wow, we're receiving pretty.
Yeah, this first kid out of UNH in a while. My friend played captain for UNH football back in like 2016 when we graduated college. But he, you know, has been following UNH football, and he said this kid is unbelievable, and he's really high on this kid too. So, I mean, that's pretty rare to see the kid like this come out of UNH.
Yeah, UNH.
Real quick, while we're on running backs, too, Blake Watson from Memphis, I like a lot. He can run the ball. He's gonna fall. I would love to pass to get him in like fifth round or something like that. Would be pumped. And then there's also two guys. I like both the guys from Georgia. My favorite of the two is Kendall Milton. He can run the ball. I can't see him being like an every down back, but like give him a couple carries here and there, he'll get the first down. And then Dejon Edwards. He's also kind of like pretty freaky good for how far these guys are going. And obviously Frank Gore Jr. I like Frank Gore Jr. because it's Frank Gore's son. He runs the ball just like his dad. So like, come on.
What about Braylon Allen? I know he's got to be the youngest player in the draft. All right, he's 20.
He's insanely young.
He just turned 20. 6'2", 245, squats 650 pounds. I mean,
he's my number three running back, and it's a tight race between those guys. I think the upside is huge, total bust potential on this, but the upside is really, really big. He's got things you can't teach.
RB1 is Jonathan Brooks / Jalen Wright. I love Jalen Wright's pass protection. I think he's the best pass protector in the draft. Jonathan Brooks has sat behind Roschon Johnson and Bijan Robinson, and he almost lost his job to the freshman there. Forget his name. J.T.
Robinson?
No, it's another freshman that freshman or sophomore that Texas has that's just a freak. But he beat them out, and he would have been in the Heisman running had he not gotten hurt late in the season. Jonathan Brooks is kind of like untapped potential. You want these guys that haven't been carrying the ball, you know, their whole fucking lives. This guy had like 3 years off, basically, you know, from carrying the ball. And you look at him, he's not even 21. He's a sophomore. You know, he got hurt the ACL that ended his season. But when he was on here, let's see, 1,135 yards in 11 games for Texas, a team that, I mean, has a ton of mouths to feed with Jatavion Sanders, Whittington, Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, and he was their focal point of their offense. So Jonathan Brooks is a player. And
I like him too. I just can't make the argument to go reach for him when there's a bunch of guys that are close to behind him.
I think all these guys are second-rounders at best because of the way that the running back is looked at now, you know, where it's like, I mean, last year we had the outliers with Bijan and Jahmyr Gibbs, outstanding players, but what is their life in the NFL? How long do they last? You know, and you see that now where it's like you get like 6 years out of your running back and then you're ready to move on. Was there a reason for the Giants to move on from Saquon Barkley?
Short shelf life.
Maybe they saw the writing on the wall where he's going to get old quick because he's been used so much.
Didn't want to pay him.
You know?
Really? They didn't want to pay him. Yeah, that's the running back story.
How about, let's just call out Eric Dickerson wearing his jersey. Back in the day, running backs were valued way higher. Eric Dickerson went number two in that famous 1983 quarterback draft. And there was a real conversation. Is he the best player in that draft? Elway ends up going number one. Can't look back on that one. Eric Dickerson, underratedly, one of the greatest running backs ever. I mean, he gets forgotten.
Even in the last five, 6 years, Saquon, if we were valuing from back then, Saquon would have gone first. Bijan would have gone first. You know, like.
You're right.
Oh, in the 80s? Yeah.
But running backs used to go first. Absolutely. Yeah,
the league's just not the same. You know, it's use these guys and fucking and wash your hands. You know what I mean? Like, it's a tough position. You're taking some fucking hits from, you know?
No doubt. No doubt.
The last thing I wanted to say, there's just one other guy that I really like that I'd be happy if the Pats drafted him. His name's TJ Tampa. He's a corner.
He's a good player.
He can absolutely rock guys. So I haven't seen a corner that can lay the rock like a safety before. So I'd love to see this kid in the NFL. I think he's going to be good day one, and he's arguably just as good as anybody else for the D-backs.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. Put him into Tampa too.
Yeah.
Digging deep. Love it, Higgs.
TJ Tampa and the Tampa. All right, forget it.
You had to go there. All right, we did it, dude.
We did it.
I'm so fucking pumped for Thursday night. I'm so jacked up.
A little mad at Higgs for the Edgerrin Cooper pick. Little.
Watch it happen.
Who'd you want there? Because like that's a complete gamble.
A tackle or a wide receiver?
Kingsley.
I just think need. I'm just thinking need because there's so many. And linebacker to me is like a. He's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
Which tackles are still there?
I would go Kingsley Suamatea or Kieran Amagaji. Jordan Morgan was still there. Ladd McConkey for a receiver, I think I've already made my case for him. But, you know, Xavier Leggett.
Could go Leggett there.
We can't get one of those guys, obviously, in like the third round, right?
I don't think so. I think basically every guy named there is gone shortly after we pick at 36 or whatever.
Yeah, you know? You want to get one of those like eight. What are there? Yeah. Nine? It's nine guys or eight?
And the other thing I really like, tackle. Junior Colson, if we wanted to go linebacker later, for me with the Patriots, I'm looking at their edge deficiencies coming up where they have Uche and Judon for one more year. If I'm going in that direction on defense, I'm probably focusing more on edge than off-ball linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, one would think, but, you know, Higgs got a point. Mayo is a linebacker.
Yeah, you know, he might want
his
guy.
You don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah. Junior Colson, for me, is the kind of guy that could sneak up potentially into that early second round. You don't see a lot of off-ball linebackers go high anymore. You know, it's a lot like running back.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just went with him
together
because he reminded me of Telvin Smith. And if Telvin Smith's available at that point in the draft, that's my guy. So,
okay. So you know what? You're dead to me. You're dead to me. It's all good. Hey,
you're right, though. We would definitely need to tackle a QB and a wide receiver in the first three picks.
Probably three.
I would just do it like that. Even if I'm reaching on a Malachi Corley or someone like that, like, I would just do it. You know, and I know you want to find someone as far as corner to match on the other side of Gonzalez, like long term. And for me, I think the best thing you can do in this scenario is get quarterback, wide receiver, tackle in the first three rounds, go out and sign Stephon Gilmore, draft a guy later like Harden from South Dakota, and develop. And that's kind of the way Elliot Wolf has said. We'll draft and develop. We're a draft and develop team now. That's what we are. Yeah. So
don't sleep on Isaiah Bolden also. He had Isaiah a great Bolden. Preseason.
I mean, there's good corners I think you can get in the third, fourth round. Chris Abrams train. I mean, I can keep going, but I digress.
I think we should do Patriots to draft, quarterback, and then probably tackle. I agree with you. And then I think we should get a defensive player with the third pick because we can get wide receivers late, like Malik Washington, unbelievable, 5'9", freaky, can't tackle this kid, especially in open space. He's going to be good. Javon Baker from Louisville, love that kid too. Like, he's going to fall. These guys are going to be like fifth, sixth rounders probably. There's a couple other good guys. Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's kid. He's pretty good.
Javon Baker, okay. I like a lot. UCF, good frame, 6'2", 200. There's a lot of appeal to going wide receiver later. I would really like to shore up this offensive line. I don't know if Chucks is what you want going into the season as like your long-term starter where you don't have anyone you can even develop behind him. Yeah. I thought City Sal was like serviceable at right guard. What do you guys think about that? Like,
yeah, average, slightly below average, but
yeah, I don't think he was a rookie.
He's a rookie. I know he's a little bit older. He's a 24-year-old rookie, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, because he transferred.
Yeah. All right. Well,
everybody transfers nowadays. It's crazy. You read these bios, and it's like, I started in Tennessee, and then I went to Georgia, and I wound up at Virginia.
That's another reason I like the Jonathan Brooks story, is because there was no path for him. And even, like, coming out of spring, where the sophomore or freshman gets the job over him, and he sticks and stays, and he has a fantastic season. And the only thing that cuts it short is the injury. I like guys that stick and stay. It shows me
I can read him. Like, who would you compare him to? Like, anybody in mind?
Jonathan
Brooks. I said Devontae Freeman.
Oh, you did say Freeman.
That's a good – yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Devontae Freeman.
He's probably a little bit more speed than
Freeman. Yeah, he's got more speed than Freeman. Freeman had those tree trunk thighs. But same kind of, he's an all around back. He does everything well.
See, a not like more like Marco Murray, though, like right? Clinton Portis type, I would say. Portis build, I would think.
James Cook was the other comp I had for him.
James Cook's a good one.
James Cook, all right.
6'1", 200, good thereabouts. Okay.
Yeah. All right. We did it. Mock draft. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Special
in
thanks
the books
to Higgs for joining here and,
thanks,
and rounding out the mock draft.
Had a blast. Thanks for having me.
100%. Thanks for coming.
Enjoy the draft, everybody. We will be back next week to break it all down. God damn it, do I hope we get a quarterback somewhere in here. We better have the biggest bag of all time if we get out of that number three pick and Drake Mays on the board.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's my thoughts. I'm going to be watching intently. I don't think I've ever been this nervous for a pick. So, I mean, like, just thinking about it today, I'm, like, putting my mind in it. Like, when we're on the clock, I have jitters, you know? So
my expectations are so low that if we do anything to not screw it up, it'll be good.
Good for you.
I just assume we're going to screw it up no matter what we do.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are walking around high stress.
Why would you assume Mayo's going to screw it up?
It's the third overall pick. If you don't take
the third
overall
pick, he's never touted. It's like his fifth year in the league as a coach.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I don't like.
I don't like that they have a group of nine guys making the decision. I don't like where half the guys came from. There's a lot I don't like. We'll say that.
The thing I don't like the most is the reports coming out that Jonathan Kraft is heavily involved. Yeah, that's the thing. The owner
being involved is terrible. He has no, what is he? How do we know he
doesn't even fucking answer questions? Jonathan Kraft, I don't think I've ever heard him speak. Like, and he's got a heavy hand. And then what? Who answers for him? Robert? That's not fair. You know? And he gets to escape all questions.
We go from having one guy making all the decisions, which we saw falter by the end for sure, to a team of 9 to 10 people making the decision. And it's like,
that's what always happens. Even Justin Jefferson's making a decision on who they draft.
Historically, that many people involved in a single decision doesn't work out well, but whatever. We'll see what, maybe they figure
what happens, man.
I want just Higgs to rerun that. I think they could be Super Bowl contenders speech again. Yeah. I was flying high on that one.
I know, but then he picked a linebacker.
Not so much out of
you. I know, that is true. I just pick favorites, you know. I want him on the team, so I go get him.
So we thought the Patriots were going with.
There we go.
What are you going to do?
All right, and we're going to find out on Thursday night. So thank you all for listening. We will be back next week to break it all down.
All right, guys. See ya.
Adios. See ya.